Well, I am glad each one of you is here tonight, and I do ask you to pray for me as I try to preach this. I'm going to preach tonight on this motor plant. But before I get to it, I want to read you a little something that the Lord had me to pick up a while back, and it's by Charles Spurgeon, and it's called The Checkbook of the Bank of Faith. And it's every day, it's got a little scripture in there, and then something that Spurgeon had wrote, and I was reading it today, and I thought, Lord, I'm going to read what old Spurgeon wrote. And he was a man of God. He lived for the Lord. He was about the Lord's work. Really and truthfully, when you read about his history and his life, you could say that he was a workaholic, and he was a workaholic for Jesus. And especially since this being prayer meeting day, the psalmist writes over in Psalm 6 and 9, it says, "The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer." He says, here's what Spurgeon wrote. He says, "The experience here recorded is mine." The same thing that the psalmist wrote, he's saying, it's mine. He says, "I can set to my seal that God is true. In very wonderful ways, he has answered the prayers of his servant many and many a time. Yes, and he is hearing my present supplication, and he is not turning away his ear from me. Blessed be his holy name. What then? Why, for a certain promise which lies sleeping in the psalmist's belief, confidence is also mine. Let me grasp it by the hand of faith. The Lord will receive my prayer. He will accept it, think of it, and grant it in the way and time which his loving wisdom judges to be best." That's an important part for us to remember. The Lord is going to hear our petitions, and he's going to grant them in the way in which he judges best and in the time he judges best. We might pray for somebody, and you might have somebody lost on your heart that you think of it, that you pray for time and time and time again. It's okay. God hears it. And God's going to answer it. But it'll be in his time. It says, "I bring my poor prayer in my hand to the great King, and he gives me audience and graciously receives my petition. My enemies will not listen to me, but my Lord will. They ridicule my tearful prayers, but the Lord does not. He receives my prayer unto his ear and his heart. What a reception this is for a poor sinner. We receive Jesus, and then the Lord receives us and our prayers for his son's sake. Blessed be the dear name which receives our prayers." And I just thought that was awful interesting today. I know it sparked in me a little something or another that excited me, thinking about the Lord hearing my prayers, hearing my petitions. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that he does. I'm thankful that he don't turn a deaf ear to his people. I'm glad of that. And tonight, we want to preach just for a little bit. And the message that the Lord give me is, it's a very simple one. But he give it to me with a tomato plant being the demonstrator. It would be harder for me to preach this message without this tomato plant. And I need, I need it, and it needs me. It can't preach this message by itself, and I can't preach it without it. So it takes us both. But before we get started, if you want to look with me tonight, the main portion of our scripture is going to be coming from John in chapter number 15. But there's a few things that I want to read to you before I get there, and I'll just read these. I'll read them to you right the best I can. But one of the things that I want to read to you tonight is, it says over in Hebrews 10, it says, verses 23, it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." It says, "He is faithful that promised." And it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now, I don't know how many of you remember or not how to provoke somebody. Do you remember how to provoke somebody? You know, I know there's a few things that I can say to my sister, and I can get her about fighting mad. It wouldn't take more than 5 minutes, I guarantee you. Me and her would be rolling around up here on the floor, and she'd be trying to choke me. When we was younguns, we provoked each other a lot. But this is not provoking each other unto sin, but this is provoking one another unto good works and love. And a lot of times I've thought about what we do in our lives and how we do and you know, how we think of ourselves, how we think of others. And, you know, the way you perceive somebody, it's really going to have an effect on how you treat them. It really is. Now, I know that we say, well, no. But it will. If you see somebody as a hog gut, swine sinner, ain't no good for nothing, ain't never been no good for nothing, going to bust hell wide open, and that's how you think of them, every time you see them, you're not going to treat them the same way as if you think, you know what, I'm praying for them, that God would do a work in their life, that God would change things around, that they might receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and that they might become the product of Christ's salvation. Now, there's a big difference. We always need to keep, just like today, I went down to Lowe's and I bought this motor plant, and because the one that I had used before, it's gotten a little bit too big to carry around in the car, and these was on sale. Lowe's has about killed them. I don't know what they done to them. She said, that thing probably won't live. I said, it probably won't, but I'm going to pray for it. And I told her, I said, well, I'm a preacher. I said, and I'm going to preach tonight on a tomato plant. She said, that's fine. And she said, I said, would you like to hear a 1 minute version of it? No, I would not. And I thought, gracious, just a minute. I'll tell you why I'm paying for it. No, I don't want to hear nothing about it. I thought, dang. I never mentioned nothing about Jesus. I mentioned about preaching on a tomato plant, and I'm cut off, you know. And I mean, she had this scowl on her face, and she wasn't happy, and she was miserable, and she had got rained on and pushed buggies in out of the parking lot. She wasn't having a very good day. I never mentioned another thing about it. I just stood there. Well, then she wanted to charge me $14 for that thing. I said, honey, it's on sale. She said, how much is it? I said, it said $3 and something or another. I said, I'm not exactly sure. The price tag's on the side of it, but I didn't see it until it was too late. But she comes back in, and she said, don't get me wrong. I love the Lord, but I just don't think this is the place for it. And I said, well, okay. Well, I started driving through the parking lot. And unfortunately, bang, I just couldn't help it. I thought, I bet she does love Jesus. Probably going to hell. Now, I'm driving across the parking lot, and you know the parking lot down there, it ain't exactly smooth, you know, and I'm in that big van. I'm going like this, going over to get me a sweet tea. And through the parking lot, and then God said, you're thinking about her wrong. You're thinking about her wrong. She could be just as saved as I am. Maybe she's just having a rotten, stinking day. There's been some times if you'd have come to me, I'd have said, I don't want to hear about it right now. Amen. All of us has been there. But tonight, as we think about provoking one another unto good works, we want to read about something that Jesus had to say in the last hours. Now listen, this is the last hours of Jesus' life. And if you're going to tell anybody something important, if you know you ain't got but a little while left, and Jesus knowed it was down to the wire, and he was making sure that they got some things. He's making sure that they had some understanding about some things. And we want to read this scripture in chapter number 15, starting at verse 5, and then I'll try to preach what the Lord has laid upon my heart. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. If It's very clear there who the vine is. He said, I, Jesus, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. He says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them under the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. If we skip down to number 11 there, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, now this was the joy of Christ, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, as I begin to think about this, and I know that if you want to get nitpicky about it, Jesus was probably talking about a grapevine. If you want to fight about that, we'll fight about it after the service. But how God give it to me was he give me a tomato plant. And regardless of what you want to look at, all of them has branches that comes off. The main vine, the main tomato vine, it's what is rooted. It's what's grounded. And if you want to think about Jesus, and you want to think about him being the vine, think about what ground he's in. He's in heaven. Now, with this poor tomato plant here that don't look so healthy, it don't look so good, I don't know exactly what all is been put into this bucket. I have no idea about the soil condition. I have no idea about nothing. But each one of these branches, as you can see them, every single one of them, if I take one of these branches and if I pull it off of here, what do you think it's going to do? It's going to do nothing, right? Jesus said very plainly there in the scripture, he said, without me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything without Christ. You won't even have life without Christ. The sinner man thinks that it's his life. It's not. It belongs to God. It's up to him. When God says it's done, it's done. But I begin to see, and I want you to try to imagine, and of course God didn't show me a puny little old tomato plant like this. When God showed it to me, it was a tomato plant. It was that big around. I mean, it come out of the ground. It looked like a small tree, Chad. And it had these branches going out. And the one that God showed me, though, you know what? It had a lot of them. It had a lot of suckers on it. Now, I know what we all think and what we all say. Well, a sucker is just robbing the plant. A sucker ain't no good. And that's how we feel about some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, that they're nothing but suckers. Amen, go ahead. It's true. We think they're just draining the church. Boy, we'd have better service if they wouldn't be there hindering us. I'm telling you, that's how God showed it to me. And then God began to reveal to me. And see, I didn't know, I mean, I know a little bit about tomato plants. If you live around here, you have to know a little bit. But I didn't know a whole lot. So I began to research about these tomato plants. Do you know that commercial tomato farmers do not sucker a plant? Did you know that? I mean, you think about it. You go through down, look at some of them tomato fields, especially you get down in Florida, you get these other places, they're 15 miles long. I mean, they're as long one way as the other. Who's going to go through there and pick all them suckers off? Nobody. You know why they don't? Because it really don't make that much difference as long as you've got good ground. Let me tell you something else about a sucker that I didn't know. If you just leave that sucker alone and you got good ground and you keep plenty of water and plenty of sunshine and it stays warm enough, if it stays, what you might say, if it stays in the right environment, Brother Floyd, If it stays in the right environment with good nourishment, it'll eventually produce fruit. Now, I know that what we're, and we want to talk about that fruit here in just a second if the Lord gives us time, but I've been guilty of looking at the suckers wrong. Now, we find that here's what Jesus is saying. He says, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you. Do you realize that Jesus didn't go around all frowning and scowling? He didn't. Jesus was an exciting, fun person to be around. Have you ever been around anybody that was just like that? It didn't really make a whole lot of difference. They was just always upbeat. They's always glad. They's always thankful for everything that God give them. They's thankful for the life they had. They's thankful when they're sick. They's thankful when they're healthy. They's thankful when they had money, and they's thankful when they didn't. They's just always thankful. They was a positive person. They never sat around and grumbled and complained about this and that and the other. But they had the joy of the Lord in them. You remember that scripture? It says, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. I think too many times we're missing out, Brother Floyd. You know, we could be bearing much more fruit if that was really true for most of us. But you see, we get caught up and bogged down with the things of life, and then you know what we look like to the rest? Suckers. That's what we look like, suckers. But God, this one's got a little Bidian on it. I know you probably can't see that, but anyhow, you know what God showed me, though? He showed me that regardless of whether you was one and... Now listen, let me tell you something. It says that you bear much fruit. He don't say that you create it. He don't say that you make it. He says all your parts to do is just to hold it. Just to hold it. That's your part. This little branch can't make it happen. It has to come from the vine. Now, if the branch is receptive and the branch is open to the nutrients, to the water, to all the things that the vine is sending up, if it says, me, I'll take some, give me the good stuff, I need some water, I'm ready, then you know what? Then that vine will send it up, and it'll go right out into that branch. And you know what'll happen? It'll bloom. And then after that bloom, eventually there'll come some kind of fruit. Now, since we're talking about these tomatoes, we want to talk just a minute about tomato food. And the scientist has really done a lot of research on all the vegetables that they grow. How many of you ever got a mater from a grocery store and it looked right, but you got it home and you cut it up and it didn't taste right? It was like eating some kind of chemical. It was like, oh, that's... it happens a lot at McDonald's and things like that. You know, you get that tomato and you take one bite of it, and then you open that hamburger up and you take that tomato off and you throw her. You know, you're like, I ain't eating that. I don't know what's wrong with that thing, but I ain't eating it. But you got to have the right food to grow good tomatoes. Now, one thing that as I went on and started researching this, and I learned a lot about tomatoes, but one thing that I found out is tomatoes, one of the main things that they've got to have, and they've got to have a lot of it, is nitrogen. They have to have a lot of nitrogen. Now, I only listed, and there's about 14 altogether, but I just listed 7. Just kind of like that number. You know? But anyhow, and we're going to go down through these 7 different ones, but nitrogen. But there's a warning about this nitrogen. And it says, but be careful, too much can hurt the fruits. Ain't gonna hurt the plant, but it'll hurt the fruits. And as I thought about that, about being careful with that nitrogen, I thought about this. Too much fire, not enough compassion, it can hurt the fruits. Now I'll just tell you, and you know that I feel this way, it's heaven or hell. There ain't but two choices. And each person's got to make their own mind up. If you want to go to heaven, trust Jesus. If you want to go to hell, trust anything else. It's that simple. There's one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. But you got to be careful. Too much fire, not enough compassion, it won't get the job done. But then there's another one here that's another extremely important one, and it's phosphorus. And I did not know this. But the phosphorus, see, it performs an important role too. It's good for the blooms. And as I thought about this phosphorus and the blooms that comes out, you see, you got to have blooms before you're ever going to have any fruit. And the Lord revealed to me that this phosphorus was like patience in our life. For us to be patient. I mean, well, I prayed for them and they didn't get saved last Sunday and I don't think they ever will. Let's be patient. Let's be patient. Keep praying for them. Well, it just don't look so good. They, you know, the crowd's down and this, that. Be patient. Well, ain't nobody wants to. Just be patient. Be patient. Now, let me tell you something. You just pray for me. Because this is not an area that I am strong in. I'm not. I mean, I'm just, that's how I am. I'm like, oh! I mean, I get aggravated. I get agitated. I mean, you know, thank God most of you ain't around when this happens. Or you'd be saying, Preacher Matt, let's pray for you. You know. I mean, I do. I get frustrated sometimes and things builds and builds and builds and I'm just like, but God, why this? And Lord, you know, I mean, I have a trouble with patience. The Bible tells us a tremendous amount about patience and it's a great virtue. And it's, we should have it. But anyhow, the next one is potassium. It says, if you don't get enough potassium in your tomato food, it says, it won't grow to full potential. And I got to thinking about that growing to full potential. Listen, if you don't get enough B-I-B-L-E, you're not going to grow to full potential. If you don't get enough Word of God, you're not going to grow to your full potential. And, you know, it don't come easy. It don't come easy. I mean, when everything's rrolling along, clicking along, and clickety-clack down the rails of life you're going, and you got a good job, you got a good wife, and you got three mean young'uns or whatever it may be, you know, things is going fine. I ought to read the Bible. Lord, I ain't got time. I ought to study. I ain't got time. I want to give you a little secret. Do you know the best thing to help you study the Word of God? Put yourself in a predicament that you have to. Teach a Sunday school class. Then the eyes is on you. Maybe you say, well, I don't feel comfortable with that. Then teach your young'uns. Have a Bible study with your friends. One week you lead it. The next week they lead it. Hey, some other things, and these things is called, but without the Word of God, you'll not reach your full potential. micronutrients is what these next ones are called, because even though they don't require a great amount, they still require it. And you got four of them here. You got iron, copper, zinc, and magnesium. Now, these essential elements in producing a healthy, vibrant tomato plant. And you know, as I talked before about Jesus and Him being the vine and us being the branches, and we talked about where Jesus was at, we know that He's in the kingdom of God, right? Now, if we think of a tomato plant and we think of it being, and the vine being Jesus Christ, and Him being rooted in the kingdom of God next to the river of life, might I add you, what exactly is He lacking? Is He lacking anything to send down to your life that you might produce and grow to the maximum potential? He's not lacking anything. You remember what we talked about before? About being the vine saying, Lord, I need it. Lord, I want it. Send it my way, Lord. I'm ready. You know what? You're not going to have to beg for it. He's flowing through Him all the time. He is desiring to give you the things to make you grow, to make you to be fruitful. Here's something else. Now, if we in this one, even though it's pretty puny, they still a couple of maters out there, which is the result. That's the result of it getting what it needs to get. But do you realize it don't make no difference which one of these little bitty suckers or branches or anything else? With Christ, we've all got the same access. Every single one of us has the same access. When you're feeling like, oh my God, this is a terrible thing, I'm going to have to get Brother Darren to pray for me, you got the same access. If you're in Christ Jesus, you've got the same access. The very same God that will hearken unto Brother Darren's prayers is the same God that will hearken unto yours. You say, but I feel inadequate. That's irrelevant. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're in Christ Jesus. There ain't no halfway in, halfway out. Now, what we do a whole lot of the time, though, is we're bad and we judge. We're all the time judging. I mean, I do it. Hey, who's guilty of judging? Go ahead, raise your hand up. I'm guilty. I judge everything. I judge everybody. I judge me. I judge my wife. I judge my dog. And I've told that dog many times, if you don't get saved, bad news for you, old girl. And she looks at me with them big old eyes. But a lot of times we judge wrongly. I want to look just for briefly and just momentarily over at Galatians. I want you to look with me in chapter number 5. We want to look briefly at the fruit of the Spirit. Now, with a tomato plant, of course, we can see a great big, first off, you'll see blooms. And do you know the more blooms that you have and the bigger the blooms are, the better chances of that fruit producing, coming into being? Is that not right, Bobby? I mean, it's true with the apple trees, it's true with everything. The bigger and the more blooms that they have, the better chance they have of being pollinated and producing fruit. But it's not our fruit. It's God's fruit. We're just to bear it. That's all we're to do. We're just to bear the blooms. They're God's blooms. But we're bad to judge. One thing that we judge is we judge fruit wrong. We'll look and we'll say, man alive, boy, they've on fire for God. God's a blessing them. They've led 15 people to Jesus. Really? No worse can I find that you leading somebody to Jesus is a fruit of the Spirit. I can't find it, Bobby. I can't. I mean, and let's be realistic. Do you think you're the first person that's ever mentioned to them about Christ? In most cases, you ain't. Do you think that somebody else has not prayed for them? In most cases, they have. God just allowed you to be there to privilege you to be the one to say, do you want to accept Jesus? I do. How hard is that for? I mean, how many of you have that happen? Ever had that happen? I had a girl call me one time from South Carolina wanting to be saved. I don't even know who she was or nothing else. They was down at Myrtle Beach and got to talking about the Lord. I don't know if it was a bad storm or what coming in. All I know is I picked up the phone and hit some girl, and she said, Brother Matt, can you lead my friend to the Lord? I said, sure. She gets on the phone. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I said, you want to be saved, honey? Yeah. Okay. Just tell Jesus that you acknowledge you're a sinner and ask him to come in and to take your soul, to be the ruler of your life, to save you. Okay, I'll ask him right now. What did I do? I didn't do nothing. I mean, and you're just running across. I've seen people before tore all to pieces, I mean, they're vibrating and quivering. They're back in they come to the church, they're shaking all over. What's the matter? I'm lost. And the preacher don't even preach nothing on salvation. He preaches about tithing, and then here they come down to the altar. They're going to get saved. I mean, that's just God. It's God's salvation. It's his gospel. It's his plan. It's his way. Somebody leading somebody to the Lord, it's not a fruit of the Spirit. Now, thank God that he lets us lead people to the Lord. They ain't nothing more exciting, I don't guess, to me than leading somebody to Jesus, except for somebody that done been led to Jesus, or rededicating their life, truly repenting and coming back to know Jesus Christ. Those two things is the most exciting things that I've ever experienced. But let's look over here in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, it says, the very first thing is love. What did Jesus tell them to do? He told them the first thing, to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind. And then he told them to love their neighbors as theirself. When he was down through there, he said the last commandment he gave them over there, that they might have his joy, is to love one another. Here, the first fruit of the Spirit, the first thing that you're going to have is love. Now, maybe everybody in here ain't as bad as me. But I have a hard time liking people. I do. I mean, it just don't come natural to me, Floyd, for me just to like people. It don't. I mean, I'll talk to people and I'll be friendly with them, but to really like somebody, it takes a lot of effort. And I mean, it just don't come to me naturally. But I kind of like to be by myself a whole lot. I do. Most Yuns is kind of geared the same way, or Yuns wouldn't be living up here in the middle of the mountains. We just don't really like that many people. But do you know what happens? You ever go to church with somebody you didn't like? Hey, man, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Yeah, I've been to church with people I don't like. Still going with them. You know what will happen, though, when the Holy Ghost of God moves through here and he just wraps his arms around you and you come down to this altar snotting and crying, or maybe you're back, woo, glory, thank you, Jesus, woo. You know what? You look over them people you don't like and you just love them. You know why? Because it's fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus is with you. He's on you right then. I mean, he's took full control. The flesh has done been killed down. Listen, you can't squall and holler till you kill the flesh off. Not do it in the Spirit of God. But let's go to the next one. The next one, Jesus also mentioned. Joy. Jesus don't want us to be sad people. He wants us to be happy. I mean, I've been to church with some bad people, Floyd. I have. And I ain't talking about you uns here at Bethel, even though some of yous are bad. But do you know one thing that I found? As far as I know, to the best I can tell, I ain't never been to church with nobody that got to looking at somebody else's wife naked, then went and took her, then after they had done consummated, she got pregnant, and then he had her husband killed. I ain't never been to church with nobody like that, Bobby. I ain't. I mean, you think about it. That's King David that I'm talking about. Now, there was great consequence for him, but you know what he prayed? He said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know what he did? He restored it to him. Did David deserve it? Absolutely not. Did he deserve being saved to begin with? Absolutely not. Did you? Absolutely not. That's grace. I mean to tell you, we ought to have the joy of the Lord. We ought not get so bogged down in all this and that and the other, what we do wrong. Apostle Paul, he said, there's one thing that Apostle Paul said that he had obtained. You know what it was? Forgetting the past and looking forward to what's ahead. I mean, just forget about it. Jesus says, forgive you. Forget about it. Go, just quit thinking about that and move forward. If there's anybody had some baggage, you might say, Apostle Paul had some. But that joy. Then he goes on and it says, peace. Now, there's two different kinds of peace that I can find in the Scripture. The first one is peace with God. That means that you come to Him and you're lost, unfit, unclean condition. Ask for His redemptive grace and mercy to be bestowed upon you for salvation. You have peace with God. For the very first time, you have peace with God. And then there's a second one, though, and it's the peace that surpasses all understanding. He wants you to have this peace. Now, we're going to get into some of the harder ones. The next one gets a little tougher. He wants us to have long suffering. It kind of goes along with that patience, that long suffering. That you just don't fly off the handle and you don't go down to the barber shop and say, bless God, let me tell you what brother such and such has done now. Be long suffering. Pray for them. Lift them up before God. Do you realize, I mean, you think about that. I know that sometimes the people says, well, logic ain't got a place. You know what? Logic does have a place in faith. You think about, if God can come in, He can show you your loss, show you your undone, show you your great need, then He can, just like that, go from being outside you to being inside you, indwelling in you, keeping your soul throughout all eternity, writing your names in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't think He can change somebody's attitude, their opinion? I mean, He can. Pray for them. Long-suffering. Boy, there's a lot of us, we ain't too long-suffering. I'm as guilty as anybody. Then the next one, and my sister, she'll ought to hear an amen out of this. Gentleness. We ought to be gentle. Go ahead. I ought to be gentle. Listen, these is the things that what God has said will be evidence of Him working and us growing in our life. These will be the fruits. It ain't that you can, well, Brother Bing, led another to the Lord, down to car wash. Thank God. But you ought not to take that kind of attitude about it. Because you know what God, you know what it says? Let me see if I can find it right quick. It just kind of come to me. If I can find it. I don't know if I can find it or not. Oh, yes, I can find it too. Thank you, Lord. over in, you don't have to turn here, I'll read it to you. But over in 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 10, I'm looking for it right now. But it says that we are to be careful if we think that we stand, lest we fall. You know, it's God that keeps us from the temptations. It's God that keeps us. I mean, He makes the way of escape. We don't make the way of escape. It's not our strength. But if we'll take His way. Let me see right here. You're right, Brother Bain. I've looked right over it. He says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. We shouldn't, you know, think that we're something. I mean, it's God. If we're good, it's because God has helped us to be good. It's not our goodness. Let's go on down through the rest of these. It says goodness. It ought to be. I mean, we ought to do good by people. When people, you know, and I know that it says there's none good, no, not one. But it should be something when people thinks about you that they'd say, you know what, they're a good person. They do things right. Lord, it ought to be that if you tell a man that if I tell you I'm a coming over and I'll be there at 6 o'clock, unless something has happened and my car's broke down, I ought to be there at your house at 6 o'clock. We ought to keep our word. You know what? That goes a long ways with people. A long ways with people. It goes a long ways with me. I mean, and we ought to be fair in our dealings and in our doings. They ought to be able to say that there's a goodness about them. That goodness that's about you is God. It's Christ Jesus. The next one, it says faith. You ought to, I mean, if you've been born again and saved, you already have. God has given you a measure of faith. We ought not to, you know, we read that earlier. About provoking one another, let us stay steadfast in the faith. I mean, we ought not to be so affable, so wishy-washy, listening to the whims of the world and the ways of the devil. I mean, whenever you pray about something, you ought to pray believing. Now, maybe it don't happen the way you thought. You know what? We set that tent up out there at Ledger, and they give the awfulest forecast ever was for that week, didn't they, Rick? It was supposed to rain every day. I just went to praying, oh, God, help us, Lord. It's supposed to rain every day. That's what they've been given. But, Lord, help us, Lord. Help us. Please, Lord, just make a little hedge of protection around us. God, just let it rain everywhere else but here. We set that tent up that first night. Brother Brent preached. He's having to preach loud, preach over the rain. Water coming up in under the tent. Said, well, we're going to have to dig a ditch around the tent. Next day, he goes out there and he digs a ditch around it. Some people might say, well, why didn't you do that to begin with? I prayed for God to help it not rain. If I ain't going to believe what I'm praying, then there ain't even no need to pray it. You ought to have faith. And God did. He delivered us. Lord, it would rain and rain and rain, and then he'd just, most of the nights, I think we had 2 nights that it rained. That it rained during the service. It rained right up to the service. It rained right after the service. And it rained everywhere else. Some places had the awfulest storm ever was. They said, did you just go through that bad storm? I said, no, we didn't. God did help us. He did deliver. And I thank Him for it. It wasn't because I'm so good. But we ought to have faith about things. You know how we're going to have more faith? When you put yourself in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, praying in the Word of God, talking in the Word of God. You know, sometimes when I talk, I use Bible words. And some people's like, huh? I mean, but I talk about it. I read it. It's become my language. The old English has become my language. Now, some would say, I don't think any English is your language, but you know, we are to have faith. Let's go right on down. It says then, the next, it says meekness. Meekness. I mean, you think about who Jesus was. Jesus wasn't no sissy. Son, Jesus was a man. He had muscles. And I believe if he had wanted to, he could plow you down. You think about how they come to Jesus. Whenever they come to arrest him, he said, here I am. You know what happened? They fell back. But you know how he went with them? He went with them meek. He never resisted. He never fought. He went with them meek. There's a preacher that I know, and probably one of the biggest examples. I mean, he's a great big fella, much bigger than me. He said that he was a pastor at this church, and it wasn't from here. So if you know another preacher that this happened to, this ain't the same one. But anyhow, he said some little feller got mad at him, weighed about 140 pounds. He said they got out in the parking lot, and this feller used to be mean, bad. I mean, he was the devil's man, running wild and bars and chasing wild women and fighting and cussing and jail and everything else and drugs. But anyhow, the Lord saved him, called him to preach, and this feller got mad at him. He got out in the parking lot, and he said he kicked gravel all over me. He said he grabbed me by my tie, and he drugged me around that parking lot, cussing me and spitting on me. He said finally he got done. He said, and I got in the car. He said, my wife looked at me and said, what in the world's the matter with you? Why didn't you beat him into the ground? He said, God told me not to do it. Oh, he wanted to, but he was meek. He didn't, that whole event, you know why God let that happen? Because later on, he had a great big deal in that man's family's life. See, the whole family knew what he had done. You know what that preacher done? He still kept ministering to him just the same. And it made a big, big difference in that family's life. But we need to be meek. We need to have temperance. And then the last, it says right here, it says, against such there is no law. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It says, let us be not desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. This is the other kind of provoking. Do you know why that it tickles me to death when Brother Darren leaves? Because I'm going to get to preach, maybe. I've started before to go drive over to Madison County and flatten all Tony Fowler's cars. Him call me and say, Brother Matt, I can't make it. All four tires on my car's flat. But I get to preach at my home church. I get to preach here. But you know what? It's not that I can stand up here at this pulpit and that you can think how good, that's not it. It's that I might do just a little bit to glorify my God. That I might do just a little bit to glorify my Father. That He might be pleased with me. Not that you'll be pleased. If you don't like it, that's fine by me. I don't care. I ain't your pastor. But that God would be pleased with me. And that He might give me something that might just help you look a little different about the branches and about exactly who we're hooked into. That you might understand just a little bit better about your availability. That if you're in the vine, you have the same availability as the best saint of God out there.